Binding versus non-binding. There are, you know, there may be some terms in the LOI that are appropriate to make binding on the party, such as keeping the agreement confidential. That, you know, during the course of the negotiation of the LOI, there's exclusivity and the seller's not talking to other people. However, completely binding LOI should be approached with extreme caution. For the entire time of my practice as a real estate attorney, I have never been involved with an LOI that is completely binding in all aspects. Now, there may be certain things, such as the provisions that I just referenced above, that could be binding, but a completely binding LOI I've never used, nor would I recommend it. Again, being clear, concise, and specific are key. If there are any conditions precedent in the LOI, things that have to be done before a PSA can be drafted, we need to include those. And a key thing that people need to think about is sometimes keeping it simple and avoiding multiple side agreements is vital, because once you start including, oh, there's this letter agreement over here, and then there's this other term sheet over here, and then we're going to put it all together and blend it, it's very difficult to necessarily figure out how all of them fit together. And then it creates ambiguities, which then, of course, create confusion, which then, of course, lead to conflict. So we try to avoid that as much as possible. One simple thing is for each party to provide their correct legal entity name. I can't tell you how many times a party doesn't know what their actual legal name is. They go by a DBA or something else, or they think it's a company when it's really an LLC. So it's very important to get the correct legal name. And then the other thing to worry about is watching your course of conduct after the LOI sign. It could be argued, and in some court cases it has been, that the party's course of conduct after the LOI is signed changed some of the terms. Again, if the LOI is drafted correctly, that's a minimal concern, but it is something to consider. And the final warning with LOIs are sometimes people minimize them or think that they're not worth it, but if you utilize them correctly, they're a valuable resource in the purchase and selling of real property. So now we get to the meat and potatoes of the buying and selling a property, the PSA. It's all in the details. So the paper does a much better job of going into detail of the common of some of the reservations and what those entail. I don't really want to go into that here because, again, I'm going to be very limited on time because I'm covering a lot of information. But if you're following along with the paper, the slides sort of go along with the paper, so you'll be able to kind of read more detail as we go along. But when purchasing property, the basics of property law are a piece of property is really a bundle of sticks. You have the surface, you have the minerals, you have the buildings, you have other improvements, you have easements. So it's all a collection of a bundle of sticks. So for the buyer wants to get all of the bundle of sticks or as many as it can. And most of the time, the seller is probably going to sell all the bundle of sticks that it has. But there may be instances where the seller wants to keep some of the sticks, such as the minerals, maybe water or a mineral royalty. So those are things that need to be considered. Another item to consider is what is a permitted exception? So when a buyer is buying property, it is going to purchase that property subject to exceptions to title, which will show up in the title commitment and maybe even more broad if the seller gets its way in how it drafts the contract. So again, a permitted exception as to the status of how the buyer takes the property is something that should be negotiated in the PSA. Another main factor is the due diligence materials involved, delays in providing those due diligence materials, and the ability of the buyer to rely on those contents. The due diligence material requests will depend on what kind of property you're buying. If it's raw land, if it has improvements on it. What the buyer would be seeking is dependent, especially, you know, there may be leases on there. So you just have to, those are going to be deal specific. Seller will need to timely provide those to the buyer and give the buyer enough time to really review that information. And then for the seller's perspective, any of that information that's produced by third parties, the seller is going to want to disclaim any liability as to the accuracy of those because they didn't prepare those, and they're providing those in their minds as an accommodation to the buyer, but they don't want to be held responsible for a third party's report or analysis.